Take your Bibles a couple places here very quickly. And I was studying some things in preparation for tonight. It was had started last week. I didn't tell you where to turn, did I? Second Peter chapter 1. And then I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. But was going through my lesson for tonight on a sure word of prophecy. That's what we're dealing with. And I get sidetracked. I see something in the Bible that catches my attention. And I just chase it down. I can chase a Bible verse through a 40-acre field. Okay? And just, boy, I'll just try to get everything I can out. But that's what I like to do. That's how I like to study. And if you're going to compare it to eating fried chicken, by the time I'm left, there ain't nothing left on that bone to get off of there. I mean, that's just what I like to do. And I run into something today, and it's one of those things where when you lay the verses out, and then you look at them, then you understand what God is saying. It's the wrong thing to do to have it fixed in your mind that you're going to say the Bible's going to say this, and then try to make the Bible say it. Go read the Bible first, and then let God tell you what He wants you to say. Amen. That's what He told His disciples. What He tells us when we get in situations in life where we have to give an answer about something. He said, "Don't think about it. Don't plan out your script." He said, "Let the Holy Ghost do the talking." And He said, "He'll give you words that they will neither be able to gainsay nor resist." You know why? Because they're the words of God, and they're powerful and they're quick. So Peter said, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." That sure word of prophecy is the one that you're holding in your lap right now. It's the one we have tucked away in the next to the hymn books there. It is the written record of the Word of God. I want you to take your Bibles now and turn to Matthew chapter 24. And I'll tell you what verse to turn to as soon as I find it. This is kind of, I won't say I'm unprepared, but I had this thought and I wanted to throw this verse in to kind of knit and tie some things together. He said, let's go to Matthew 24, and we will look at verse 23. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." What? You mean somebody's going to lie to us about Jesus? Absolutely. Get ready. In fact, deal with it. It's already being done. He said, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders." Think about Revelation 13, the false prophet. He does signs and wonders. "And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that," and I want you to look at this, "if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." What does that mean? The word "very" means truly. Okay, it is not a quantity. It's not a level. It means true. When Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," saying, "Truly, truly, I say unto thee." When we verify something, that means we're finding out whether it's true or not. The very elect is not those who are more elect than other people. That's not what that, they're not levels of election. Amen? There's not 100,000 people who are over you as far as spirituality is concerned. You're the Savior, you're lost. You either have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're guiding you in the truth, or you don't. That's just all there is to it. Some know a few more things than others, and there's different gifts, and I understand all that. But as far as when it comes to being saved, when it comes to being God's elect, you're either elect or you're not, and that's all there is to it. And He's telling you the very elect, it is not possible to deceive the very elect. In fact, let me read it again, make sure I get it right. "Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." In other words, the deception is going to be so big and deep and encompassing that everybody that is not the elect of God is going to fall for it. Okay? And here again, that's where we get two different types of people. You have saved people and you have lost people. You have the elect and you have the heathen of the world. They don't believe it. Okay? And so just kind of get that in your mind, because I'm going to talk about deception. I'm going to talk about people that are deceived. And as I was putting these, I was just looking at verses that talked about deception or be deceived or deceivers and things like that. And it just kind of dawned on me, God is teaching us how is it that people can be lied to. And years ago, I got alone with God one day. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 30, and while you turn there, I'll talk. I got alone with God, and I said, God, I don't want to believe a lie. I don't. I'm not interested. I don't care what it says. I don't care what it means for me. I don't want to lie. I don't want to know a lie, I don't want to believe a lie, and I definitely don't want to stand up in front of everybody and teach a lie. There is an accountability of God's men who stand in front of people and who talk and who say things. They say God is this or God is that. There is an accountability that we must give to God on the things that come out of our mouth. We are held to a standard that if you put your trust in a man to be your preacher or your teacher or evangelist or whatever it is, that man is going to be accountable to God on what he says and whether it's true or not. Now, with that in mind, I'm not saying that everything that goes flying out of my head is true. I'm not saying that. It is impossible for me to be right 100% of the time. I don't have it. I'm not capable of it. Ask my wife and children. Okay? I'm not, except Caleb. He ain't old enough to know that yet. Okay? But I am not capable of saying everything the right way 100% of the time. Sometimes I'll preach something and some people will go, oh yeah, that sounds good. And some people are going, what in the world is he talking about? Okay? And that's just the nature of it. That's how God wants it, by the way. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's how God wants it. So the praise and the glory should not fall upon the men who preach the word. It should fall upon the God who wrote the word, whose word it is. Amen. So he's always true and never lies. But I don't like being lied to. I don't like deceivers. I don't like people who preach and spread false doctrine or false ideas, things about God, things about salvation, things about just anything related to God and the Bible and so on. It's just my nature. Some people can kind of put up with it a little bit. God made me a little bit different, all right? And I just don't like it. I am on a journey of wanting to know from this Bible what the truth is, I want to know how it's going to work, how God is going to do this, how God is going to do that. And if I hear something being taught or talked about or preached or somebody wrote a book about it, and to me it doesn't ring true with the scriptures, if I don't see it in the Bible, I got a rule. If it's not in the Bible, it doesn't exist. Okay? But if it is in the Bible, it's real, and we ought to listen to it and heed it rather than trying to say, well, I don't know that it really means that. I think it means something else. But anyway, there's people out there who are being deceived, and the question is, how they allow themselves, or how does that work? How is it that people can be deceived? We are supposed to be anchored to this sure word of prophecy. Shouldn't be just my philosophy of life where I say, if it's not in the Bible, it doesn't exist. That should be yours as well. You should have a high standard of believability and acceptability. We are told in the Bible to test the spirits. We're told to try the spirits to make sure they're of God or not. Because there's one Holy Spirit and there are many false spirits. And if you're not careful, you'll run after those false spirits. I've done it before. Okay? And God's just kind of pulled me back. Mike, that's not it. That's not where I want you to go. You're going to hang with me. Thank God that He's done that for me. Because I mean, I'm just as normal as everybody else. But we anchor ourselves to every word of God being pure, so that we are not deceived and not lied to. Or if we are deceived and we think, well, it sounds good, so I think it's this way, eventually, well, God will bring us around and He'll show us that's not true. That's not how it is. And so anyway, I want to begin, and we're going to understand from the scriptures tonight how we get deceived. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. Are you there? Say amen. He said, now, here's what he said. Now go and write it before them in a table and note it in a book. There's your anchor right there. Isaiah, write this down. Write it down. Note it. Put it on a table. A table, he means like a tablet, like a writing tablet, okay? Or your iPad, okay? If you got a Bible, a King James Bible on your iPad, there it is. Note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. You know what that's teaching you? When Isaiah wrote it down, God swore he was going to preserve it forever and ever. It's not fallen into disrepair. We haven't lost some of the words since the original manuscripts. God preserved it. He swore that he would preserve it forever and ever. Somebody say amen. So if somebody stands before you, somebody's got a radio show going, or you listen to somebody on the internet, and they say, now, we know that there's errors in translations of the Bible, there's errors in all the translations, and some of the words, weren't copied right over the many thousands of years, and some of the words from the original manuscripts have fallen into disrepair. That's a lie. That man deceived you. That man told you something that contradicted this verse right here, plus about 20 or 30 more, or even more than that. They contradicted the Bible to tell you something. Your Bible's not corrupt. It's not. It's incorruptible. The devil tried to corrupt it, and he can't. God won't let him. Amen. Excuse me. He said in verse 9 that this is a rebellious people, lying children. Boy, who's ever heard of that one before? Amen. Lying children. Everybody's going, I got a bunch of those. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Which, watch this now. The reason, you know why there's so many deceivers in the world? Because there's so many church people that want them. Church people hired them. They did not want a man to tell them the truth of the Word of God. Watch this. They said to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Are you listening to the Bible tonight? Who is the way? It's Christ. I'm the way, the truth, the life. What is the path? It's Christ. It's the Word of God. Seek ye out the old paths, he said. He said, get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. You know what they're saying there? We don't want you preaching holiness and morality to us. We don't want that. We don't want to be able to shack up. We don't want to be able to live together and try each other out before we get married. And we don't want you to preach against it, or we won't go to your church. We'll go to that other church across town that won't touch that subject. That's what they're telling you. So the shame of it is not that there's people who demand that out of a pastor. The shame of it is that men are turning to that. Men who are supposed to be preaching the book are turning themselves over and saying, I'm your guy. And God knows my heart. That's where I was going a long time ago. Okay? Days that I'll testify them every now and then. I don't want to tell you everything. Because the shame of it was that I was going to chase down what everybody wanted out of me. It's my nature to make everybody smile and be happy. It's my nature. But when it comes to compromising what I have to say from here, I can't do that, and you just have to be mad about it. Because that's my job. And I've told this story before, but I know it firsthand. First prophecy conference I ever put on in my life. I mean, this was years ago, 1997, you were still working at GA. And they had you down at Little Rock, and I was down there at the same time. My grandmother's church. And the preacher wanted me down here. And it was King James, and he said, I'm King James. He said, I'm trying to get this church. He said, I'm teaching some things out of, Gail Ripplinger's book. And he said, I want you to come down and kind of back me up on it. So I went down there, and we had a good time down there. And 2 weeks later, he had been preaching on Sunday night while the King James was the Word of God. And 2 weeks later, his deacon had a church of about 110 people that had 17 deacons in that church. Some of them were 187 years old. Brought them in on wheelchairs and had a deacon's meeting on this preacher. And they all sat around. And see, they had NIV Pew Bibles. And they all sat around and they said, we don't want him preaching that stuff anymore. So they called the fella in and they said, you're going to quit preaching this King James stuff here, or we'll fire you. So he said, don't fire me. And he quit. He quit preaching the King James stuff. He gave in to them. Okay? I've prayed for him, and I'm not mad at him. I mean, they hold this man's livelihood over his head and say, you don't do what we say, we won't write you a check next week. How's that? Okay? And I'm just telling you, if it's here, we're supposed to say it. And if there's a church that's saying, prophesy not to us, write things, don't see things, don't go that way, don't stay with the book, don't do this, don't do that, that's that people's fault. They're going to be held accountable for that. Amen? The shame of it is the pastors who give in to it. They probably give in to it for money or fame or for whatever it is, but they give in to it. That's where your deception starts, right there, is when the people demand out of the man of God that he doesn't preach the Word of God, and he stops. That's a shame. Jeremiah 14, turn there. I'm gonna lay on the preachers for a little while, and then we're gonna move into the pews, because that's where God does. Okay? I'm not kidding you. I did not sit down and say, boy, I'm gonna really tear these people up now. I'm gonna go after them, but I hope I find the verses that'll do it. I laid the verses out, I went through them, and I went, this is what God's saying. Jeremiah 14, 13. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Other places in Jeremiah, and especially Ezekiel. Ezekiel's talking to the prophets, and he said, you're prophesying peace, peace, and there is no peace. You're trying to tell everybody everything's okay, and they won't have to worry about anything. You're trying to tell people that we live in dark days, and there's perilous times coming, and for them not to worry about anything, they won't have any bad thing happen to them. He said, that's not what you're supposed to say. He said, God said, I never said that. I never said that. He said, the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Boy, look here, one seat. They prophesy unto you, number one, a false division, number two, divination, number three, a thing of naught, and four, deceit of their heart. You know what that tells me? A false gospel. False gospels. Four things here that they do. That's false gospel. They're trying to tell them other ways that they can go to heaven other than by the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what they're trying to do. And it starts with the pulpits, the people, the pastors giving in to the demands of the people instead of people coming under the authority of the Word of God. Rick Warren, I don't mind mentioning his name, his whole book on his purpose-driven church book was all about him boasting of what he did. He said, what I did was, before I started my church, was I went through and knocked doors and handed out questionnaires and asked people, what would you like for me to do in order for you to come to my church? What would you like for me to say? How would you like for me to handle the service? What kind of music would you like to have? How do you like your coffee? In other words, you tell me what it is that you want me to do, and I'll do it so you'll come and sit in my church. That's a whore. That's what that is. Okay? And he's going to have to stand before God on that deal. But it starts in the pulpits. Starts in the pulpits. They prophesy lies. They will not tell the truth. They're assuring everybody that they can have peace. They're assuring everybody that God loves them. Everything's okay. And God said, I never said that. I did not send them. I did not give them that vision. They did not come for me. They're divining lies to the people. Ezekiel 14. Turn there. Ezekiel 14, turn there. There's a theme here that I've hit upon in Isaiah 30 and in Jeremiah 14 and Ezekiel 14. It comes out of the deceitful heart. Did you know that mankind has a deceitful and a wicked heart? He's born with it. Did you know that you do not have to teach children how to be mean and cruel and rotten and lie through their teeth? You don't have to teach children how to do that. They figure it out on their own. Amen? They figure it out on their own. You know why? Their heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Who can know what's inside the heart of man? I'm sitting here looking at everybody, and I think you're my best friends in the whole world. You might be sitting there going, I hate Mike. I hate him. Boy, I wish I could kill him. And you're sitting there smiling on your face, amen, amen, preacher. Boy, that's good preaching. I'm going to kill that guy one of these days. I can't stand him. How can I know your heart? You're deceitful. Amen. Ezekiel 14, 6 comes out of the heart. Watch this now. Here's what's in their heart. Ezekiel 14, 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, setteth up idols in his heart. Anybody can walk by a statue of Jesus or Mary or Buddha and say, wow, boy, that's neat. Ooh, that's nice. Anybody can do that. The issue is you took the idol, you put it in your heart. Now you love the idol. You love the false god. That god, watch the, see, you know what your heart is? It's your throne. It's where God sits and reigns over your life and tells you, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to go. This is what, you know, this is how life's going to be for you. You took God, put him out of the seat, and you put an image of some false god inside of your heart. By the way, you know why you put him in there? People can't see it. People can't see what's really inside of your heart because it's deceitful. So it stems from having I learned this from Brother Reg. He taught this one time. I thought it was the best way in the world. He said an idol in the 20th, 21st century version of an idol is when people carve out an image of God that is not the image that's given to us in this Bible. They're saying God is this or God is that, and this Bible does not say that that's who God is. They have come up with that God out of their own imaginations. And that's the God that they worship and the God they serve. That God can't answer their prayers. That God cannot hear them when they cry out. That God cannot save them. But that's the one that they've made up for themselves. That's the one that'll say that in their heart, that God will say to them, you can live however you want to and do whatever you want to. You can live in sin. You can be this way. You can be that way. You don't have to turn from your iniquities. You don't have to repent. You don't have to say this. You don't have to do this. You just be the way I made you and everything will be okay. That's an idol inside of their heart. So he said, this is where the deception comes in. And he said, they setteth up idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. His iniquities carved out his God. I want you to catch this. Because a few verses down the road, we're going to find out that your sin will deceive you. Your sin will lie to you. And when it says here that they put the stumbling block of iniquity before his face, it was their sinfulness that carved out an image of the wrong God. You know why? Why does someone carve out a God that does not make them repent of their sin? Why does somebody do that? It's very simple. They don't want to give it up. They don't want to change. They want to keep doing and feel good about it. So a guy says, oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking wine and a little whiskey every now and then, having a beer every night. I don't see anything wrong with that. After all, here we go. Jesus drank wine. Jesus made wine. Jesus drank wine. And there's nothing wrong with it in the Bible. You just do everything in moderation. They carved out a God that will let them booze it up every night. So now they sit at home and they booze it up at night and think that everything's okay between them and God. And it's not. It's deception. Their sin told them, God said it was okay. That's what their sin told them. Who in this room, don't raise your hand, Who in this room thinks that they can be deceived by their own iniquity? If I was to look at you and tell you the truth, I would say everybody sitting in this room has the ability of being deceived by your own iniquity. Certainly by your own pride. You have the ability. You've got it in your heart. If it wasn't for the anchor, you'd die in that deception. Anyway, he said, He said, he setteth the vitals in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I want you to look at this, what God said. I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. How in the world does that happen? Let me ask you a question. Does God tell lies? Never. God cannot lie, the Bible says. He cannot lie. But he made some devils that can. And they're pretty good at it. And you know how this Bible will open up the windows of the spiritual realm for you so you can understand what he means by this. He said, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Can you think of a story where that happened? Ahab. Ahab wanted to go to war. The king of Judah said, yeah, I'll go to war with you. Let's hear from the Lord. Ahab said, I got all my prophets. They're gonna prophesy to me. One old boy, he made him some iron horns, and he said, Ahab, see these horns here? With these horns, you're gonna push away your enemies and you're gonna have the victory. And that old king of Judah said, well, it sounds spiritual. Isn't there anybody that can prophesy from the Lord? No, Ahab said, yeah, there's a guy named Micaiah, but I hate him. Well, why do you hate him? Because he don't tell me what I want to hear. At least he was honest. Amen. He don't tell me what I want to hear. Well, let's call him in. They called him in. Micaiah, what do you see? He said, I beheld the Lord. And the Lord said, whom shall I send to go and deceive Ahab to go to war? And one spirit said this, and one spirit that, and one spirit said, I'll go. And the Lord said, wherewith? In other words, how are you going to do it? He said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets. And they'll tell him God said it was okay for him to go to war. You know what Ahab, you know what Ahab's guts and his blood were laid out in his chariot the next day because he followed that deception? And God had already prophesied that, didn't he? Because in the place where they were washing Ahab's blood out of that chariot, the dogs came and licked that up, and that was the exact place that they killed Naboth. And Elijah, the man of God, had it right. He told Ahab what was coming. Ahab didn't believe it, and he didn't want to listen to it. He would rather believe a lie, and he lost his life the next day because of it. Some of these lies, maybe they're small. Maybe you think they won't hurt. But I guarantee you, there's some that will, and there's some that'll kill you if you're not careful. I don't want to be lied to, people. I don't want to be lied to, and I don't want to tell anybody a lie. That hurts me. I don't want to do that, because I know where they come from. Anyway, he said, the prophet be deceived when he said in verse 9, if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. Did you catch that? Those who want the lie and those who tell the lie have the same punishment. And what it's telling you here is what I told you a while ago. There is a responsibility and an accountability of every man who stands with the Bible or the Word of God, or he says, this is what God says. There's an accountability there, and God holds that man guilty if he has lied to his people. And anyway, in verse 11, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Let's see here. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew. So we've learned on 8 o'clock. I'm going to try to run through a couple things here. I'm not going to try to go through all this tonight. But number one, it starts in the pulpits. Why does it start in the pulpit? There's enough people out there that want to be lied to. And preachers can get pretty wealthy off of it. Why? People want to be lied to. They want to be deceived. This David Crank, you know who that is? He's the one that's got billboards all over St. Louis. Faith Church. Him and his pastor wife pastor these campuses. I think it's like two or three campuses all over the St. Louis area. He's buddies with Joel Osteen, so that kind of tells you right there what kind of man he is. His dad, David Crank Sr. If I was going to be a preacher, I would change my last name from Crank to something else. Amen?
Amen.
David Smiles, or David, I'll tell him the truth, not David Crank. But his dad used to have I don't know if you've ever saw it, his dad used to have this little TV show. He was one of these charismatic guys going around. He's in the spirit all the time, slaying people, laying people down, murdering their spirit, which is not in the Bible, prophesying over everybody, telling them stuff that wasn't true, healing everybody and all this nonsense. Well, the son inherited the ministry. And he's taking it now, this big mainstream coffee shop, mega church kind of deal, where he's going to tell everybody positive things and smooth things and nice things, but not ever warn them about hell and judgment and sin and everything. He's not going to warn them about those things. He's going to lie and deceive people all the way to hell. Our area is blanketed with that kind of nonsense, and there's enough people in the St. Louis area that's going to fall for that stuff. They are. They're making this man filthy rich. Jim Sedgwick stood here and tell us that he was working on the project up at one of their churches there. He was building the bathroom for him and his wife. In between their offices, about a $100,000 project, they were putting in a bathroom for him and her. $100,000. Yeah. And here, me and Sterling was talking about whether or not we're going to spend $14 to fix one of them that we got to keep it from leaking. You think it'll be worth the money, Sterling? I think so. Okay? Can we have $100,000 to fix that thing? That's kind of garbage that's going out right now. And if it wasn't for everybody wanting to hear it, he wouldn't make a good living off of it. So now the responsibility is on you. You can blame the preachers all you want to for lying to you. But the truth of it is, you grabbed a hold of what you liked, whether it was true or not. Matthew chapter 13. And then we'll be in Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 13. He talks about, this is the parable of the seed and the sower. Remember that? In verse 22, he said, "He also that receives seed among the thorns." Here's a connection for you right there. Study thorns in the Bible. Study them. First place thorns show up is where? Does anybody know? Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. What was it? Curse of sin. He said, "He that's received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and what? The deceitfulness of riches. Choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." I don't mind telling you that in the days where I wanted to go liberal and please everybody and try to have a big church, one of my motivations was money. I don't mind telling you that. Because it's true. I know how these guys think. Because that was what was motivating me. If I can get more people in the church, then I can get more money. I can have this big salary increase. And I'd be one of these hot shot preachers that have this really, really good living off of having this big mega church. And everybody will think I'm really something. That was one of my motivations. So do I know what promotes these guys to do it? Absolutely. And it says right here, the deceitfulness of riches. The seeking out of wealth or gain will lie to you. Amen. Who seeks the wealth or the gain? You do. There's a deception there. churches that are seeking out financial gain or wealth, there's a deception there. And I'll tell you this, there's always going to be a trade-off. If you're going to have a big church in today's world, a big local church, if you're going to have one, more than likely there's things that the man of God cannot say anymore. He cannot preach about him anymore. Why? People won't come and hear it. That's the truth. Okay? And I fell for it at once. The deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. In other words, there was King James Bible being preached. What caused a person to go away from it? Money. Then in Matthew 24, very quickly, Matthew 24, 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's your responsibility. Matthew 24, 5, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You know what that means? Find out who the real Christ is. Find out who the real Christ is. We was over at Arby's getting supper. Lisa handed the guy a 20, and he was going, hey, does anybody know where my pen is? You know he's looking for it, don't you? That little marker they use to find out if it's fake or not. And Lisa had been married to me way too long, because this is my line. She said, it's good, I just made it this morning. That's my line. I use that. Too long, dear. I wanted to go, boom, boom. You know what that man was trained to do? Know the difference between real money and fake money. You don't want to be deceived by the Antichrist? You read this Bible and know who the real Christ is. Know what he will and will not do. Know how he will appear and how he will not appear. And you will not be deceived. Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. There is going to be an overabundance of false prophets, more so than real guys preaching the truth. We're going to be outnumbered. Deal with it. Okay? And the crowd is always going to follow the crowd. So when you see wherever all the crowd is going, you just plan on walking the other way. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And a deceitful preacher gets you out on time every service. I thought I'd throw that in there. You pray for me, please. Will you do that? I don't always know if people pray for me every day. I don't always know that. I do always know that I need it. I'm telling you, I need it. Because there's a lot of people that listen to what comes out of this church now. And that's a responsibility. There's a growing group of people out in Kenya who I love dearly, that hear what comes out of this church every Sunday. That's a big responsibility. But an even greater responsibility to me is the people sitting in the pews of this church, which includes my wife and my children and my grandchildren. That's my greatest responsibility. And they'll listen to Daddy. And they'll listen to whatever he says. And if I don't say it right, it's going to hurt them and me. And I don't want that. So, while I was going through this today, every time I'd read a verse, I was asking God, God, am I being deceived? Have I deceived people? I want to know. So you pray for me, all right? Pray for me, and pray that God will always give it to me straight, and I'll give it to you straight.